I believe in the name of Jesus. Is that the truth in your life this morning? Is that name, the name of Jesus, the name above every name in your life? If you've come this morning and you've never claimed that Jesus Christ is Lord, we pray that today may be your day. Because his invitation is always open. And for those of us who have claimed that Jesus Christ is Lord, then I got to ask you just a question this morning. How has believing in Jesus changed your life? How did it change your week? Well, I know how it changed your eternity, because your eternity is in heaven. But how did it change this week? How did believing in Jesus change the way you used your time this week? How did believing in Jesus change the way that you used your resources? How did believing in Jesus cause you to act differently this week? Did believing in Jesus get you into some trouble? Or cause you to have to make a decision because the rest of the world is going this way and you said, this is the way that Jesus wants me to go? If I read the Bible correctly, when we say we believe in Jesus, living in a world that is opposed to God's values makes us dangerous to some people. How has believing in Jesus made life different? Because God does not want to just change your eternity. He wants to change your life today. He wants today to be different because he is Lord. And our greatest desire today, my greatest desire for you, is not that you'll come and you'll learn something new. It's not that you'll come and you'll feel better about something. My prayer is that today you encounter God. Because if you truly encounter him, you will never be the same. And that is our desire for you, that he will change the way you live. God is good. And all the time. Yeah, you guys can have a seat. And as you're having a seat, grab a Bible. I hope you have one with you. If you don't, we got lots of them. And you can grab one at any of the little places around here. We know that God's truth is in his word. And so we want you to just be in it with us. We are in week 2 of this series that we are calling The Core. And it's because our desire is to understand at the core, what does it truly mean to be the church that God wants us to be? At the core, who are we supposed to be and what are we supposed to do to be the church? And that's really what this is about. And last week, we learned some important things about the church, about being the church. Not just the church that other people think we should be, not the church that we kind of, you know, might like to be, but the church that God really wants us to be. That's who we want to be. And we learned some important things. That last week we learned that it's not our church, it's his church, right? Jesus said on this rock, when Peter made his confession, he says, I will build my church. It's his church. But here's what's cool. He's invited you in to be part of it. And we learned that he wants to build his church. In fact, he says, I will build my church. Do you believe that that's happening? God is building his church all over the world. You know, we get very, very narrow-sighted. And one of the great things that I love about being a part of a church and being able to go to places like Cambodia is we get to see what God is doing around the world. And you know, God is doing amazing things around the world. And he wants to do amazing things on your street and in your home and in your life. And so God has invited us in to this process of building his church. He gave us this great commission that tells us to go. And that go could be Cambodia. That go could be across the street. That go could be across the aisle to somebody in your office. But he's called us to go and to carry this message of good news. And last week we learned that the gates of hell cannot stand up against the church that is on a mission. Amen? And that under the direction of Jesus and empowered by his Holy Spirit, we are commanded to go and to take back ground that's been stolen by the enemy. It says we're supposed to storm those gates because the gates of hell can't stand up against the church that is on mission for Jesus. And what's behind those gates, we said, are the souls of people who are lost. And so we are on this rescue mission together with God. We talked about how at the core, Newbury Park First Christian Church is about developing fully devoted followers of Christ who seek and save the lost. That's in your notes. And you're going to hear this over and over and over again. And we don't want you to get sick of it. We just want to get it into the fabric of our lives. When we're making decisions as a church family, as a leadership, as the staff gets together, we look at this and we say, is it going to help us develop fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ who are seeking and saving the lost? And that's what we are all about. It's our way of kind of saying the Great Commission for us today. Fully devoted followers of Jesus that seek and save the lost. Now, how do we do that? Today, we're going to start to unpack three strategies, is what we're calling them, strategies of how we're going to get there. How are we going to develop fully devoted followers of Christ that seek and save the lost? How do we do that? And step number one is this. There's three of them. There's encounter God, build community, and extend compassion. And those have been strategically worded to kind of encapsulate what they're all about. And today we're going to try to unpack this idea of what it means to encounter God. Because I don't believe that you can really fully do the other things until you've come to have a real encounter with God. So this morning, I want to invite you to pray with me this morning. I know some of you, I broke with kind of the norm and I didn't pray like right after we sang, right? So you're like, oh my gosh, well, Ken didn't pray. Well, I invite you to pray with me this morning. I want to invite you to pray a very simple prayer, but one that is actually possibly the most dangerous prayer you'll ever pray. And it simply goes like this. Dear God, I want to encounter you today. Because if you encounter him, if you come face to face with the Creator, I don't think you can walk out those doors the same. And so the question is if you pray it, do you mean it? Do you want to truly encounter him? Because if you do, he'll change everything. So if you would, just pray with me. Dear God, I want to encounter you today. Father, that is our prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning understanding that, Lord God, you are enthroned on high and that you are the matchless one, the majestic one, the maker of heaven and earth. That, Father, you hold our very lives in your hands, and Father, you have a great plan and purpose for us. That, Father, you have a mission for us as your church to undertake in this world. Father, we know that your desire is to bring people into relationship with you through the power of the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, that was shed for us on Calvary. And Father, we come to you this morning, and Father, we thank you that you've given us your word, and that, Father, in it we can find truth, and we can understand who you are, and how we can approach you, and how we can truly encounter you. So, Father, today my prayer is that, Lord God, we would not just learn something new, that, Father, we wouldn't just believe something, but, Father, we would encounter you today and that we won't be the same. Lord God, we love you, we praise you, we honor you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for 40 years, he watched sheep. For 40 years, he'd been hiking the same trails and watching sheep. 40 years was long enough so that he was no longer just looking over his shoulder and wondering if an Egyptian bounty hunter was going to come up looking for him. 40 years. And not a day had gone by when he didn't wonder what would have happened if he would have just minded his own business. If he would have looked the other way when he saw that Hebrew slave being beaten by his Egyptian taskmaster. See, his intention was to help. But one thing led to another, and he didn't mean to kill the Egyptian, but he did. So 40 years now, he's been a fugitive. 40 years, he's been a foreigner. For 40 years, he's gone without seeing his family, his parents, his brother, his sister. For 40 years, he's just watched sheep. But after 40 years, this day would be different. He would wake up and do the same thing. He would go to the same job. He would walk the same trails, but he would not return the same. After 40 years of what seemed like punishment, after 40 years of just surviving, after 40 years of what seemed like being lost, his life was about to be changed forever. Because today Moses would encounter God. And his life would never be the same. After 40 years of hearing little but the bleating of sheep, Moses would hear the voice that spoke the universe into existence. He had probably walked by that bush hundreds of times before, but he never noticed it. But today that bush would be different. Today that bush was going to be on fire. Now, I don't know about you. I've lit some fires in my day. Several that I probably shouldn't have. I've also helped extinguish some fires. And let me tell you, if I was Moses and I was in the wilderness and I saw a bush on fire, my natural reaction would be, throw some dirt on it. Put that thing out. That's dangerous out here. Or my reaction would have been, I got to get those sheep out of here. Because they're slow and they're stupid. And if this thing spreads, man, we're all in trouble. And I would run the other way. But there was something different this day. You see, the fire was different. The fire didn't consume the bush, and the fire had a voice. This fire that caught his attention would now set his soul ablaze with a purpose. You see, he walked up the mountain as Moses the shepherd, Moses the foreigner, Moses the murderer. But he would return as Moses the miracle worker, Moses the deliverer, Moses a man on a mission. All because he had an encounter with God. And folks, our greatest desire for you, for every single one of you today, is not that you would hear something new about God, not even that you would just believe some more, but my prayer and hope for you is that you today would encounter God. You see, lots of people believe in God. They believe that there's a God out there somewhere, but very few people truly encounter him. Like I said, the word encounter in our strategy statement was chosen strategically. Yeah, because we could have said we want people to believe God or trust God. But you know, I run into people all the time that believe in God. I go to the store. Sometimes Brenda will send me to the store and I run into people. People that find out that you're a pastor. And when people find out that you're a pastor, they want to do one or two things. They want to avoid you, okay, which happens a lot, you know. Like, oh, no, I don't want to, you know, they kind of pretend they don't see you because, you know, they haven't been to church in a while. And they're like, or if they do, they're like, oh, pastor, I'm really sorry we haven't been to church. And I just want to say, hey, it's okay. Don't feel guilty, and it's okay. And no, you probably haven't been thinking about church at all. You've just been busy. But come, We want you to come. But then some people want to avoid you. The other people want to tell you about what they believe. And those ones are always interesting to me. People say, oh yeah, I believe in God. And you know, as a pastor, one of my statements, I was, well, why don't you tell me about the God that you believe in? And then it gets quiet. And then some people will say things like, well, you know, when I was a kid, I went to Sunday school. And that statement is kind of the equivalent of, you know, it's the spiritual equivalent of all I ever needed to know I learned in kindergarten. I went to Sunday school. I got it all, man. I got everything I need to know about knowing God in Sunday school. There's some people who will say things like, well, yeah, I believe in God. I follow the Ten Commandments. I love that one because I usually just say, oh, well, what are they? They say, well, I don't murder and I don't steal. And then after that, they're kind of like, isn't that good enough? And then there's some people, oh my goodness, some people, I'm sorry I ever asked, because they believe some pretty bizarre stuff about who God is. But you see, there's a lot of people who believe in God, but folks, we don't want you to just have some kind of mental, you know, thoughts about God. We don't want you to just kind of, you know, have some kind of feeling about, we want you to encounter him. If you encounter him, you will believe. And we want you to understand that God wants to encounter you as well. You see, to encounter means, the word itself, it means to engage, to experience. It means to come face to face with something. When you come face to face with Almighty God, it'll change you. When we're thinking about what does it mean to encounter something, I was thinking about the reality that in the sports world, this is one of my favorite times of the year. You know, I mean, we had the World Series and that was awesome, but now we've got, you know, football playoff season. You know, I don't know how many of you caught the national championship game this last week, but man, you're just like, man, that was just awesome. And then now we're in the playoffs, and in just a couple weeks we'll have the Super Bowl, and you're watching and you're listening to the commentators, and everyone kind of says, okay, you know, it's like, hey, the regular season was one thing, but now we're in the playoffs, and now everything starts again. Everything's fresh. Everybody's on an equal playing field. You've just got to do the best you can. You prepare the best that you can. And when they prepare for a game, it's pretty amazing. You know, if you see what they do for preparation, I mean, there's physical preparation, you know, they make sure that they're, you know, that they're physically ready for the game. They've been working out. They've been doing all these things. They've been doing so many different things to make sure that physically they're ready to play the game. And then, you know, they memorize the playbook so that everyone knows the plays. Then they run the plays and they practice them until they can't get them wrong. And they watch film, not the same way that you and I watch a game. These guys watch the film, and then they go, oh, look, and then they rewind it, and then they play it again. And they watch it in like 3-second segments because they're watching the other team to see just how this guy might line up or how he might flinch or how this might happen or what's going to tip them off so that they know what the other team is going to do. And then they watch the film and they evaluate themselves and they say, hey, we would be better. We would be faster. We could score more if we could just do this instead of this. And they're just watching all the details. And folks, preparation is good. Preparation is important if you want to be in the game. But here's the deal. You don't have the actual encounter until you line up across the line from some big old guy that wants to just run you over. I don't know how many of you last week you caught the Packers game. And you're watching the Packers game, and you could, it was so cold that you could see the breath. And you got these two teams that are lined up on the line. And you got these humongous men who are lined up on the line, the offensive line, the defensive line, and they're breathing. And you could see it. And I started to think about it, and I thought, you know, you could smell the breath. It was just a big cloud of fog because they were just... And you'd look across the line and here's this monstrous guy that just wants to run you over. That is when you're encountering. That is when you're experiencing the game. Preparation is good, but you got to line up and you got to play. Preparation is amazing, but there's some of us who are living the Christian faith from the sidelines. There's some of us who are trying to make Christianity a spectator sport, and God is saying, I want you in the game. I want you to realize that when you line up, there is an enemy on the other side, and he wants to run you down. Preparation's important. I don't know if you know this, but you know, I love when we sing. I love the music. But folks, you know, this is preparation. This isn't the end game right here. This is preparation because, you know, we do know, we know very few things that we absolutely know for certain that we're going to be doing in heaven. But you know what one of them is? You will sing the praises of our God forever and ever. Amen? What we do here on Sunday mornings, this is preparation. If you don't like to sing, I feel bad for you when you get to heaven. And for those of you who think there's going to be a certain style of music in heaven, there will not be sections where you get to pick where you go. I don't know what kind of style God's favorite style is, but whatever it is, we're singing that. So get used to all of it. But this is just preparation. And I wonder sometimes if we haven't gotten used to experiencing God, what's heaven going to be like when you're not used to spending regular time with him? You see, our great desire is that you encounter him. Now, how do we encounter God? Well, let's go back to Moses' story. I already told you kind of parts of it, but let's take a look at it in a little more depth. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 is where we'll start. It tells us this. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. He'd kind of gotten on with life. He's got a wife and a couple kids, and his father-in-law was the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. I love that little statement. There's a lot to be said for some of these parenthetical statements in the Bible. And there's one of them. It's like, yeah, if you watch cartoons, sometimes you see the thought bubble. We have Moses' thought bubble right here. Okay? It says, you know, Moses saw the thing, and then it says, he thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why, the bush is on fire, but it's not burned up. So the first thing, if you're going to encounter God, here's number one, the first thing you got to do. Some of you take notes, this is where you fill in the blanks. Number one, recognize that God desires to have an encounter with you. Recognize that God is doing things in hopes that you will understand that he wants to encounter you. I know some of us think, well, God's just busy out there somewhere running the universe. No, no, no. Do you understand that every single day, the God that is running the universe, he wants to encounter you. He wants to walk with you, talk with you, be with you. He wants to be an intimate part of your everyday life. We've got to realize and recognize that that is true. And remind ourselves that, guess what? God wants to interact with me. Now, the next thing, in verse 4, it says this. When the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, God called to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses handles this like a champ. Because I don't know about you, but if I saw a bush on fire and then it started to call my name,
I'm pretty sure I would run the other direction. Moses just answers like, yep, here I am. As I'm reading this, I'm kind of thinking, I was having kind of fun with this week. I'm reading this passage of scripture and I'm going, you know, it's like God is like in the bush, right? And he's like, and I don't know, you know, if God, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're talking to each other and they're like, hey, you think he's gonna see us? And the Holy Spirit's like, well, the bush is on fire, you know? And he's like, what do you think he's really going to notice? Is he going to respond? Is he going to run away? Is he going to throw dirt on us? I don't know. What do you think he's going to do? Because you get this picture that God's got this thing, and then God's watching him. And again, he's waiting for us to recognize that he wants to respond. And then the second thing that's most important is this. Respond to God's invitation. Respond. Moses took a step in God's direction. And God called out to him, Moses, Moses. He says, okay, I'm here. Let me give you just one thing that I think would absolutely change your life. This is one thing. If you could do this one thing, I think it would change your life. If every morning when you woke up and you're staring at the ceiling, if you would, number one, realize that God wants to have an encounter with you, and that you would respond and just say, here I am, God. Here I am. Just tell God, God, here I am. I want to encounter you today. That would change your life right there. If you said that quick prayer before you got up out of bed every morning, I believe it'll change everything. But so many of us just get on to what we're doing, don't we? I mean, my to-do list is pretty long in any given day. I've got lots to do. Moses could have, you know, said, man, I'm a shepherd. I got to get these sheep out of here. You know, I saw the flaming bush and I got to get them out of here, and ran the other way. But he responded to God's invitation. And I think that some of us are just so busy being busy that we just get on with our day and we just bypass. Like I said, he probably bypassed that bush every single day for years and years and years. And I think we can just get on with our busyness every single day and neglect to respond to the God who wants and who is inviting us into relationship with him every single day. I know that that happens for you. It happens to me. I get up every morning and I start to think, oh, I got to do this and I got to do this. And oh my goodness, what if I don't get this done today? And so I just get busy. What if you stopped and just said, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Lord, before I get to my to-do list, let's have some encounter time. I believe that that would change your life. Well, it goes on in verse 5 and it says, then God says this, don't come any closer. I love that part. God said, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. See, one thing for us to understand is this, is that what made the ground holy? Like I said, he walked by that bush a bunch of times. What made that ground holy? It's where he met God. It was the presence of the Lord. Wherever God's presence is, that is holy ground. And wherever you respond to him, that place is holy. And then God goes on to tell Moses who he is. He says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Now, let me tell you a little bit about what it means to encounter God. When you truly encounter God, God may expose some things in your life that you need to take care of. Another Bible character that encountered God was a guy named Isaiah. If you go and you read Isaiah's encounter with God, it says right there towards the beginning of the book of Isaiah, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, this is Isaiah speaking, he says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, He says, and his train filled the temple with glory. And he says, and there were all these creatures. It describes all these heavenly creatures around. And then he says, and when he encountered God, he says, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. Let me tell you what might happen when you encounter God. When you encounter God in all of his holiness, he will probably shed light on your areas of sinfulness. But he's not doing it to point a finger at you. He's doing it so that you can get rid of it. And so Moses was like, oh my goodness, that's God. What in the world am I going to do? Hey, this is really easy. God, say, God, here I am. And then if God shows you something, if you're sitting there going, oh my goodness, who am I? How am I in the presence of God? And he points out something in your life, then just say, give it to him. Say, Lord, confess, repent. Say, Lord, here it is. I don't need this anymore, and I certainly don't want this following me around today. So, Lord, take this. Take this away. Moses goes on, or the Lord goes on, and he kind of tells Moses what's up. He says, the Lord said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them. That's important. Who's going to come down to rescue them? Isn't it interesting? Most of you, if I gave you the Bible test and I said, who rescued God's people from Egypt? Most of you would say Moses, huh? Who actually did the rescuing? Yeah, God says, I'm going to rescue my people. He just happens to say, I want to use you to do it. See, God's going to do the work. He just wants to do the work through you. Just like we said last week, God has this great commission of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, and God is going to build his church. But guess what, folks? He's going to do it through us. And he's inviting you into the process. Don't miss it. Don't miss what God wants to do in and through you. And he said, so I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, bring them up to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, all the otherites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing him. So now go, I'm sending you, he says, to go to Pharaoh, to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. See, God's got a mission for you. And I'm wondering if most of us are so busy on our own mission that we're missing the mission that God has for us every day. Now, he may still say, yeah, you go to work. But while you go to work, you're not just there to do your job. You're not just there to watch sheep. You're just not there to do this. You're on a mission. And that mission is to take the gospel of Jesus to the people who need it, to bring them out of a land of oppression where the evil one is destroying their lives and bring them into a good land, a place where God is their king. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. The next thing, after you recognize that God wants to have an encounter with you and you respond, the next thing is listen carefully. Listen. Listen to what the Lord has to say to you. Listen carefully. Moses obviously listened really well because he knew what the stakes were. Moses was like, yeah, I know what you're asking me to do, and Lord, I don't think I'm the guy. Now, here's one thing you do need to know. See, some of you have walked in this room this morning and you've been questioning God. You've been saying, God, I don't know about all this. Lord, this isn't working out the way I thought. You know, I thought I was doing the thing you wanted me to do. This isn't working out. You got a lot of questions for God. I got questions for God. Some of you have walked in this room this morning and you are wrestling with God. Like, I don't know, God. I don't know if I want to do it your way. I want to go this way. Lord, I don't know if I'm even hearing you. And you're just wrestling. One of the greatest encounter stories in the Bible is a guy who actually really wrestled with God. I mean, like physically. This guy named Jacob tells us in the book of Genesis in chapter 34, I think it is, where Jacob was wrestling with God. And it's this great scene, and it says that all night long they're wrestling. And then it says that the guy who was representative of God could not overpower Jacob. And I'm going, you know, my brain starts to go, well, then that couldn't have been God, because certainly God could overpower him. I don't understand what's going on here. But then all of a sudden, it says that then the guy who represented God, it says he just touched Jacob's hip. Just touched it. Just boop. And threw his hip out of whack. I mean, just touched it. Boom. And it reminded me of times when I was a kid. When we were little kids, we would wait till my dad came home. And me and my two brothers, we would hide behind the door. And when my dad would walk in, okay, it was like, you know, WWF time. It was just like, ah, and we would jump on my dad, and we would wrestle. And every once in a while, we thought we were winning. And then my dad would just, boop. Actually, it was more like this. He had this spot right here. He would pinch you, and it would just render you immobile. And I thought, that's what happened. Jacob thought he had the upper hand on God, and then God just went, oh, boop. Now, here's a story. Here's what I hope happens in your life. I hope that you wrestle with God at times, and I hope you will keep wrestling until he puts you in your place. Just keep wrestling. Eventually, God will show you that he is God, but you got to just keep wrestling. Just keep wrestling with him. Now, you've got to listen carefully. And you have to hear what God has to say. Moses asks several questions if you keep reading. Go home and read the rest of the story. We don't have time. But he asks a couple of questions. First, he says, look, who am I? I'm not the right guy. And then he tells, you know, it's like, hey, don't you know I'm a wanted man back in Egypt? Okay, there's no statute of limitations on murder, and, you know, I'm a wanted guy back there, so I can't be the right guy. See, he thought his past disqualified him from the mission that God had for his future. And don't ever, ever, ever let Satan trick you into thinking that your past disqualifies you from what God has for you in your future. Because God has good for you, and he can turn everything around. And so then he's kind of talking to God, and he's like, look, I'm a shepherd here. I got a good life here. Send somebody else. He finally just says, God, send somebody else. I'm the wrong. I'm not your guy. And he kept wrestling and questioning. But finally he gives in. Finally, he understands. And it's not till the end of chapter 4. In chapter 4, starting in verse 29, it says, and Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites. This is how we know that he figured it out, because he actually did it. He says, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses, and they performed the signs before the people, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. The next step is, when you listen to God, obey. Do what he says. What happens when you do what he says? Well, I love the end of this. It says, when the people heard what God had said, and when people understood that God was caring about them, it says they worshiped. When we obey, when we hear from God and we respond in obedience, it's an act of worship, whatever it is. Some of us think that worship is just coming here on Sunday morning, sing the songs, listen to the message. We say, okay, we worship today. No, God doesn't want this to be the sum total of your worship. God wants you to worship everywhere you go. God wants your whole life to be an act of worship. And if you live in response to God's invitation and you live a life of obedience, then everything that you do can be an act of worship. And everything that you can do, you do can be an encounter with the Almighty God. And then lastly, there's one other really, really important thing that you have to do. Okay, you have to recognize God wants to have an encounter with you. You have to respond to him. You have to listen carefully, and then you have to obey. And then there's this last one. I haven't used a lot of shampoo in a while. It's funny, man. A whole bottle of shampoo lasts me like a long, long time now, okay? But what's funny, I don't know if you've ever stopped and taken time to read the directions on the bottle of shampoo, okay? It says lather, rinse, and then what's the last word? Yeah, that's the last one. Repeat, okay? It's important, okay? We forget this sometimes. Recognize God wants an encounter with you, respond to him, listen carefully, obey, and then repeat that. See, here's the problem. Some of us think that, oh, we did it once and we're good. Like, I responded to Jesus once and now everything's okay. No, you got to repeat this over and over and over and over. This is an everyday thing. It's not an every Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing. Repeat. Okay, repeat the cycle. Every morning, wake up, realize that God wants to invite you into an encounter with him. Then respond to him. Then listen carefully. Then obey what God has to say. And then do it over again. Sometimes multiple times a day. You know how we know that Moses was in the habit of doing this? Because later on in the book of Exodus, and if you want to read the whole thing, go read Exodus chapter 34. I'm going to kind of fast forward to this. You know, Moses finally, he takes all the people out of Egypt. You know, they go through the Red Sea. They do all the stuff. They come to Mount Sinai. God gives them the Ten Commandments. When he comes down with the Ten Commandments, all the people are going wacko, worshiping a golden calf. And so Moses gets mad, and he throws the Ten Commandments down on the ground, and he busts them. Okay? And then you got to imagine that Moses is like, oh, it's like the same feeling you get when you broke your mom's like most prized possession, right? Oh no, now what do? I just broke the Ten Commandments. I mean, it's one thing to break my mom's figurine, but then what do you do if you break the Ten Commandments, right? So he has to go back up the mountain. And I love the story because God wrote the first commandments, it says, with his finger. The second one is like, God's like, all right, you're going to learn a lesson here. You're going to have to chisel these out on your own. So Moses goes up on the mountain and he's been with God for 40 days. And he comes back down the mountain, but something's different about him. He comes back down the mountain and the people notice that his face is glowing. His face is glowing. Why was his face glowing? The Bible says, because he had seen God face to face. Some of God's glory rubbed off on him. Now, I've met a lot of Christians in my life. Let me tell you something. There are a few who glow. Have you met them? They just glow. You know why? I can guarantee you one thing about those people. Those are people who've encountered God. Those are people who have been face to face with the Almighty. Those are people that have recognized that God wants an encounter with them. They've responded, they've listened, and they've been obedient to him. And they have allowed God's presence and his glory to rub off on their life. And I could think of no better thing to be part of a church family where every single one of us are aglow because we have encountered God. Now, when that happened, there were some people who got a little freaked out by that. He says, Moses, don't look at us, man. You got too much of God's glory on you. Don't get near us, that, you know. Why is that? Well, it kind of shined the light on their own issues. But it tells us that Moses kept going back and he'd spend time with God and his face would start glowing and he'd come back. Remember to repeat the process daily of encountering God. And that's what we want you to do more than anything else. We don't want you to just get some more information. We don't want you to just kind of believe or have a thought about who God is. We want you to walk with him, to encounter him. Now, most of you, when you came in, I hope you got one of these. You got one of these? If you got one of these, hold it up. Let me see them. I see all of these. Everybody hold it up like this, just right over your head. Hey, look, it looks like the book of Acts. You know, the the Holy Spirit came and the fire was... No, I'm just kidding. So here's why you have this little thing. It's because you and I were human. And the human part of me forgets. The human part of me forgets that God wants to encounter me every day and that I need to encounter him every day. God knows this about us. That's why he gave us the Lord's Supper. He said, okay, yeah, take some bread, take some juice, and remember. He gave us something physical. Now, this is your physical reminder this week. And what I hope that you'll do with this is I hope that you'll take this and put it somewhere where you're going to see it every single day. Maybe it's on your nightstand. Maybe you'll tape it to your bathroom mirror. Maybe you'll put it on the dashboard of your car. Wherever it is, you go somewhere where you're going to see this every day. And this is your reminder that you have a God who wants to encounter you. And as we close the service this morning, remember we talked about preparation? Well, we want you to prepare. We want you to rehearse. We want you to practice this morning. And so as we close in this amazing song that reminds us that we this morning, as God's church gathered together, are in his presence. This morning, I want you to just take this little thing, because here's the reality, folks. When God's in it, any bush is going to work. So all you got to do is take this little thing. If you got to move somewhere else in the auditorium, that's okay. You can do this. Maybe like Moses, you need to realize this is holy ground. You might need to take your shoes off. And some of you are like, oh, I could never do that. Why? What's stopping you? Is there anything that would stop you from experiencing God's presence? Whatever that is, get rid of it quick. Don't hesitate. If God prompts you and moves you and says, yeah, get rid of your shoes, take your shoes off, this is holy ground, do it. Do whatever it takes to be in his presence, to recognize that God wants to encounter you, and then respond to him. And as we sing, I pray that maybe you will take some time and you will focus on his presence, and that you will say again that dangerous but short little prayer that says, God, I want to encounter you. I want to encounter you, Father. I want to be with you. And recognize that he is already here. He is here waiting for you to respond. If today you have never said, I believe, I want to put my trust and my faith in Jesus, that's step number one. And I'll be sitting right down here. I would love to talk to you more about that. You can come up while we're singing, you can come up after the service, whatever you do, but make that step. And then for the rest of us, will you just realize God is waiting for you to respond and encounter him today and every day? Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you that you are a God who's not just kind of out there, just kind of keeping the universe afloat, but that God, you want to have a very real encounter with every single one of us. And Father, we want to encounter you. Help us, Father. Get rid of all the distractions. Help us to slow down. Help us to know that you are here. We want to encounter you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.